We are starting a new series. So you know what that means? That means this week is a great week to invite somebody to church because we're starting a new series. Excuse me. And so please get some cards, invite cards that are available at either the doorways or also at the information desk, and invite someone or be poised and ready. I always have at least one invite card in my wallet because you just never know when the opportunity will come. And so question is, what's in your wallet, right? So make sure you have one of our cards in there so that you can be ready, poised, for if the Lord opens up a door, if the Holy Spirit opens up an opportunity to share with somebody else, you want to be ready to do that, make it easy for them to know the service times and know the location of the church and the website and everything else that they need to know to get here. And so next week, we're going to start a new series on the Red Letter Revolution. In the printed Bible, there are red letters, and those represent the words of Jesus. And so starting next week and for 7 weeks leading up to Easter, we're in the countdown till Easter, and this whole series will be talking about the words of Jesus, the parables of Jesus from the book of Matthew. And so if you've ever read some of the parables and you're like, now what was he talking about there? What exactly does that mean? Well, this series will be for you because we're going to unravel some of those mysteries of Jesus' words and what they mean to us today and helping us to walk our walk with Christ. And so be sure and be with us for the next 7 weeks. And again, invite somebody to be with you. Exciting things are happening here, and people want to be a part of it. And if they didn't know that, they'll know that after they get here, right? And so it'll be an awesome time as we launch that series next week. Today, we are going to conclude our series on relationships. And I'm telling you, our culture needs help with relationships. And it's not just our culture, it's in this room, all right? I am not so naive to think that there aren't people here today who are struggling in relationships, and some of it has been poor choices, bad decisions, and different things that you've been involved in and whatever. Spoke to people in between services that are struggling in this area. There's so much hurt, so much pain, so much misinformation in regard to relationships and specifically sex. And so we're going to look today at what the Bible says, because it says a lot about sexual relationships and things like that. Now, let me just say, and I started the first service off this way, we have awesome kids ministry that happens during this time, all right? Age-appropriate teaching to every age level. And so if there's anybody in here who ought to take advantage of that, I would encourage you to do that and be a part of what God's doing in our kids' ministry. But we're going to talk real today about real life, all right? Paul spoke to the culture that he lived in. And what he did is he didn't, you know, mess around. He didn't mince words. He just spoke directly into it with the truth of God. And we know that the truth will set us free. And God wants everyone, listen to this, God wants everyone to live in freedom. Some of you don't believe that, I guess. So he does want everyone to live in freedom. And the enemy, especially in this area, has bondage in mind. And so the devil did not create sex. God did. It was God's idea from the very beginning. Some of you are really excited about God's ideas, right? Specifically. And so here's the thing, is God did not invent this so he could restrict it in our lives, but so that he could bless it in our lives. And the world cannot produce what God originated. God originated this so that there would be absolute unity, intimacy, and oneness. And the thing about it is you cannot out-one something. Once you've glued two pieces of paper together, you can kind of get them apart, but they're not really the same again. There's residue left there because of the joining of those two together. And so much like that, there are repercussions, there are consequences, there are things that God wants us to avoid, and he wants us to live the blessed life. He wants us to enjoy life. And so today we're going to talk about this specifically. I read a book by Levi Lesko. We have copies of it available, a few of them out in the lobby, of Swipe Right. All right? And much of what I'm going to share today is from the information of this book, just an excellent book talking about the Word of God and talking about this area. Specifically in regard to our phones, there is something that maybe you're not familiar with. If you are familiar with it, just keep looking up here. Don't let anybody know that you know what I'm talking about. There's something called a Tinder app. And this Tinder app was designed so that you could scroll through pictures, profiles of other people, and as you did that, then you would swipe left if you didn't like what you saw, and you swipe right if you do like what you saw. And then the other person gets notified, which hopefully your phone's on vibrate right now. And if you have that app and your phone does vibrate, I just want you to know you will go straight to hell in this service, okay? But here's what it does, is it notifies the other person that you liked what you saw, and so then they have the opportunity to swipe right. And then the creators of this thought, oh, then you start talking and, you know, you start seeing if you're really compatible. You go out maybe on a few dates, and then eventually he will come and ask the dad if he can have her hand in marriage, and then they'll live a happily ever after existence. But what this app is being used for today is a hookup app in which what happens is people who are looking for no strings attached relationships are going through this app to try to connect with other people and to have times of intimacy. But you don't have to worry about it. This app, it's kind of struggling. There's only been over a trillion swipes done on this app. So that's why we're talking about it today. Because over a trillion, with a T, young men who aren't looking for marriage, who are not even ready for a serious dating relationship, will go on an app like this and see if they can't have sex with somebody, no strings attached. And it's kind of like ordering an Uber. You just order a relationship. And our culture is doing this. And I'm wanting you to know this is the world you live in. Okay? This is the culture that you live in, and just like Paul would speak into his culture, I want to speak into this culture and ask, what are you and I going to do with ourselves, with our children? What are we going to do when we live in a swiping world? What is a person to do in this environment? Well, fortunately, the Bible doesn't leave us guessing on what we need to do. There was a person by the name of Moses in the Old Testament, and Moses came upon a situation of racism, not unlike something we would hear about today. And what it was is the Egyptians were abusing the Jewish people. And he saw some Egyptians jumping on a Jewish man, and he didn't like what he saw. And so here's what the scripture says in the book of Exodus, looking this way and that. So you could say Moses swiped left, and he swiped right, and he looked. And seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand because he believed, you know, I can hide my sin. I can do this. I can swipe whatever way I want to swipe and I can still be okay. I can still bury this all in the sand and it'll stay in the sand. But if you know the story, you know it didn't stay hidden in the sand. And Moses, he had a desire in the right place, but God had something different in mind. It was not to bury one Egyptian in the sand. It was to bury the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea by the might of his power. And so what happened is Moses had the right idea, the right desire, but he did it in the wrong way. And it's the same thing in our time. We swipe left or right, but really the right swipe is up. If Moses would have looked up, if he would have prayed, if he would have asked God for wisdom, how many know God says, I will give wisdom to whoever asks of me, and I'll give it liberally and abundantly. And so we need help in this area. We need help. And when I talk about this and I say, hey, we got to watch ourselves in this world, I'm not talking about wearing long skirts and sitting on your porch and churning butter. Or whatever. I'm not talking about not being a part of the world, because Paul says, yeah, we're part of the world, but we don't think like the world. And we don't do warfare like the world does. Our mindset is in a different place. Our physical body may be here. And we go to the grocery where they go to the grocery, and the worldly people go and hang out. We'll go to a ball game or whatever. But our minds are stayed on him. Because here's what we need to do in this area is admit that Father knows best. He has always known best. And we need to pray, thy will be done, not my will be done. Because sex is not just pleasurable, it's powerful. And so there are many warnings about it. God gave it to us, but it's not so we can, not so we would not have enjoyment. You know, it's like we believe the worst about God, but we'll believe the best about Lowe's. Let me just illustrate that. So I know some of you are going, what? If you go to buy a chainsaw at Lowe's and you bring it home, you get it out of the box, there's this manual there that tells you what to do, what not to do. It confines you and tells you, you know, maybe you shouldn't be having this already started on the ground when you're climbing up the tree and all. And you really shouldn't do that. That's not good for you. And you don't say, who are they to tell me what I should do? Why are they telling me that? So you won't cut your freaking leg off, all right? That's why they're telling you that, all right? That's why. They want you to have all of your legs, your arms, everything when you come down from the tree. And so when God, the author of life and the creator of sex, says, here's how this gift works best. Here's how it will work for you in the best way, shape, and form. You need to stay within this, and it's a warning to you. He's not saying that so you won't have fun. He's saying it so you will have fun. All right? So don't believe the best about Lowe's and the worst about God, because God knows best. And here's the thing. Let me just illustrate it biblically. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are there, and God says, hey, Just have fun. Just have fun. And you guys enjoy yourselves, multiply, fill the earth, and hey, just eat of everything you want to eat and whatever. Have a big time. But that one tree, one, just leave that one alone because that one's mine. And the day you eat of that one, you'll begin a death process in your life. And what happened? They became obsessed over the one thing that God said no to. Of course, they had an enemy like us who comes along and says, oh man, God's holding out on you, you know. He knows that one's the real fun. He knows that one's the real joy. That one's the great one. And he's holding out on you. Come on, come on, come on. You know you want this. You know you need this. And God's holding out on you anyway. And that same lie works thousands of years later. It's amazing. It's amazing. Give me that pineapple. Everybody know what this is? All right. What you may not know is how these came about in Europe. All the students in here, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? And so when Columbus came back, he came back with some Caribbean fruits to Europe, and one of those was this. And the Europeans they'd never seen anything like it. And so they just went crazy. They just went, oh my gosh, what is this? And so they looked at it, and it's kind of like a pine cone, but then inside, when you cut it open, it's sweet like an apple. And so they called it a pineapple. And they began to go just nuts over this. It was a huge thing to have a pineapple. As a matter of fact, only the rich were able to own or possess a pineapple. And many people who weren't rich enough, you could do this. You could rent one. Seriously. You could rent one because to own one in today's currency was $8,000. $8,000. And so it so influenced the culture back in the day that even today, if you go over to St. Paul's Cathedral in London, here's what you'll see on the tower, one of the towers there. It's a pineapple. And you'll see these in different parts. Some of you thought it was only Williams-Sonoma or something like that that had the pineapple. But it was a craze. And what they would do is rich people would have this pineapple, and they'd say, hey, so-and-so, you're invited to our house, and you can come and see this pineapple at our home. We're going to have an unveiling this Friday night or whatever. And so at some point in the party, you know, they'd go, ready? Oh, take it off. Take it all off, you know, and then, whoa, oh my gosh, that's amazing. It's awesome. Can I get up and get a sniff of it? Can I touch it? Don't you bring your knife. You cut it, you own it, right? 8,000 bucks. And we think, oh, how foolish those people were. While they look at us, they'd look at us today going around. You know, who's crazy, huh? And so people just went crazy over this until the time of the steam engine. And once the steam engine got invented and people began to cross the Atlantic in no time, then all of a sudden what was very rare became very common. And as a result, now today we have pineapple chunks. Nobody's oogling over this. And nobody's saying, oh, could we put that on a building somewhere? Weave it into our architecture. Could we have parties? No, instead we're sticking it with toothpicks because it's so common. And is it such that because something is widely available to everyone, it is hotly desired by no one? You see, maybe sex with everyone is kind of like having sex with no one. And so today we spirit and we swipe and we do all these things that help us to understand just how far we've gone. See, what makes sex so special is God said, I want you to be so vulnerable with one person for one lifetime that it'll be something the two of you share like no one else can share. And that was God's intent. That's God's design from the very beginning. But there are sweeping lies in our culture. Swirl of lies. And all you have to do is listen to music, go to movies, get on social media, talk to the wrong kind of friends, and you can get all kinds of garbage, lies, misinformation about this topic. And so here's what I want to do with the rest of our time is I want to give you some lies that our culture tells about sex. You ready for this? I said, are you ready for this? All right, here we go. Here's the first lie is it's just physical. It's just physical. Hey, it's just my body. And it's just like a physical activity. And you know, I mean, it's not, what's the big deal about it? Let me tell you something, what the big deal about it is because, biblically speaking, you can't separate your body from your spirit. They're one. And so to say that is the same kind of thing that says, hey, if I want to kill this child one day before it's born, that's okay. What that is a secular, humanistic point of view. And it's totally leaving God out and God's creation out of the picture. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's what it says. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. That's what the culture says it is. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. And then Paul quotes from the Old Testament. He says, as written in Scripture, the two become one. And you cannot un-one. And so God's design and God's desire from the beginning is that two souls, two spirits would come together. Look at what Proverbs chapter 4 says. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Right? So above everything else in this culture, I know there are movies that say this, and there's, this song and the video that goes with it, and it's insinuating something different, and they're saying this, and they're acting like there's no repercussions, and there's not this, and there's not that, but I'm telling you, the Bible says different, and I'm telling you, God designed it. He designed it, and he knows best. Here's the second lie, is I can do what I please and still please God. In other words, I can do what I want and still have what God wants in my life. And here's where sometimes people say, well, you know, I just kind of get it out of my system. And let me tell you something. You don't get it out of your system. You load it into your system. You load it into your operating system. And you're filling a bag that you'll take with you from one relationship to the next. And whatever you load, you will lug. You'll lug it to the next relationship and the next relationship. Here's what Proverbs 6 says. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? No. Don't go home and try it, right? But here's the thing. You won't try it, chances are, because you know better. You know it's true. But yet you think you can have sex with whoever and whatever, and that won't affect you because you're different, right? You're not like the other 7 billion people on the planet. You're not like that. You're not like what the wisest man in the world at the time is saying here to us. Look at what Hebrews says. It says, see that no one is sexually immoral. You like that? All right. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. He was the oldest. He should have gotten all these blessings. They were all coming his way, but he sold it. And afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. And if you know this story, you know that this man had such an insatiable desire at one point in his life. And he says, you know what? The blessing of God, that'll come. And I don't think, I think I can still get what I want and have what God wants. But he found out that he couldn't. And it's one of the saddest stories in all the Bible. And it's a story of where we question, maybe will God forgive me? Look at this in Galatians chapter 5. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Let me just say this. God wants everyone in this place to live free. Free. Free from bondage. Now, the enemy wants to put you in bondage. And here's what he says. So just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. In other words, some people say, well, can I do this and still be forgiven? And my question is, why would you ask that? That's kind of like saying, how far can I go, parents, before you'll kick me out of the house? Why do you want to know that? Why are you looking to see how close you can get? What's in your heart? Just like the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, says, what about your heart? What's going on in your heart at this point? So the question is not, will God forgive me? Because I'll tell you what that answer is yes, he forgives. But the question is, do you want to be free? Do you want to walk in freedom? The question is not about forgiveness, it's about freedom. Do you want to live free and stay free? Because what you do in your liberty can lead you back to captivity if you're not careful. And here's the next lie. It's only a problem before marriage. Oh, Craig, go after those single people today. Yeah, man, pour it on. Us married people, we got this down. Let me tell you something. The enemy never stops. He never stops. He'll do everything he can to get you to have sex with your boyfriend or your girlfriend before you get married, and then everything he can to get you to stop having sex with them after you get married. It's true. Because it's always about the forbidden fruit. It's always about the forbidden fruit. And when you're single,
then that other person who's single, they're the forbidden fruit. But after you get married, and then it's all legal and all good, then it's the other person who's the forbidden fruit. And so when your boyfriend says, oh, babe, oh, I honor you. Oh, I honor you. You don't know how I honor you. I treasure you. And I'm all about God, you know, and everything. And I just want you to know I respect you. And it's out of that love and that desire that I think we should be as one. Let me tell you something. What he's telling you is that I do not respect the authority of God over your life, my life, or anyone's life. That's what he's really saying. And the temptation won't go away, because if you're tempted to have sex with people when you're not married, what's to stop you from being tempted when you're married? If you think it just goes away, you're wrong. But I'll tell you what else shouldn't go away in a marriage is dating. You should date your mate. You should be dating them. And if your marriage isn't working, chances are 9 times out of 10 easily, and I'd almost say 10 out of 10, if it's not working, you're not working it. And if you want a successful marriage, here's how it's spelled. I spelled it last week. W-O-R-K is spelled work. You got to work at it, and you work at what's worth it, right? Some of you work harder at your golf game than you do at your marriage. It's wrong, all right? You need to date your mate. Here's the last one. This is the last lie. It's too late for me. Because see, Craig, I dig what you're talking about there. That's awesome. And I get it, that God's plan, all that good stuff and whatever. But see, I already messed up. And I didn't just mess up once. I've messed up more than once. And so I don't see how there's any hope for me. Let me tell you something. You can still honor God after you've messed up. We want to hold up the ideal, all right? I want to be clear today to every young person in this place that it is possible to do this. It is possible to do it God's way. And one way I know it's possible is because I have personal experience with it, okay? So I know it's possible. But here's what I want to say also is, you always have the opportunity to honor God. Every day. Yeah, you messed up, but here's the thing. If we say, oh, well, let's only let the perfect people minister. Those who have never messed up in any way, never sinned, never messed up, let's let them minister. There'd be no one ministering here today, all right? If only the perfect people could be used, then no one would be used. And so it's not all or nothing. But let me read a scripture for you that I know you love. If you know any scripture at all, you probably love this one. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And we just kind of pluck that one out and say, ooh, I like that one. I want that. But let me give you the context of this scripture, because it means everything to the scripture. The context of this scripture are a people that God told, here's how I want you to live. Here's how I want you to do life. I don't want you to commit adultery, because it will jack up. If you think you've got marriage problems now, just get somebody else in on it. Okay?
And I don't want you to lie. Because here's what will happen when you start lying. Then you'll have to sign contracts with everybody. Because you'll think everybody's trying to cheat you. And that's no way to live. And I don't want you to be deceptive. I don't want you to be dishonoring. And I want you to rest. At least one day out of the week, I just want you to kick back, enjoy life, and enjoy me. And just celebrate my goodness in your life. And so God set up these things to help their lives be better. And here's what they did. No thanks. Because look at these other countries around us. These other people, they've got all kinds of cool gods. And they worship this and that and the other. And they've got some awesome looking idols. I mean, colorful. They're sculptured. I'd like to have one of those on my mantle. And we could just kind of worship that one and still worship God. I think that'd be all right. Just a little bit of God, a little bit of this one, a little bit of I just kind of come up with my own religion, my own God. And God said, all right, have at it. And he turned away, let them go into captivity, and let their own choices come to roost in their lives. And in the midst of all their self-inflicted hell, God dropped this promise from heaven and said, I want you to know I had a plan for you, but you went against it. But guess what? My plan is bigger than your problems. And there's someone here today that you thought you heard maybe the voice of God when you were 8 or 7. To someone here today that maybe in your teenage years you felt him pull. You felt maybe on your heart and all, but somehow something got in the way in friendships or college days or I don't know what choices and decisions came along and whatever, and you got over here and you got wallowing around in this, that, and the other. And here's what I want to say to you, just like God said to those people who had gotten so far off track, that I still have plans for you, says the Lord. I still have plans for you. And his plans are not to condemn you. His plans are to free you. And if you're in bondage today to porn, to sexual addiction, if you've got a relationship going on and your wife doesn't know about it, your husband doesn't know, or maybe they do know, or I don't know what all could be going on, I'm here to say that there is a God in heaven who says, I'm bigger than your rebellion. I'm bigger than your sin. I'm bigger than your bad choices. And Paul would say it later. He would say, I was the chief of sinners. If you were to stack all the sinners up in the world, I'd be the top dog. Because here's what I would do. I'd find the Christians and I'd lock them up. I'd kill them. And I'd tell them, you quit confessing Christ. As a matter of fact, you deny Christ, I'll free you. You keep calling his name as your Lord and Savior, and I'll kill you. That's what I did. And he says in 2 Corinthians to a church, he says, but I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old, it's gone. And behold, the new has come. You see, God is not just the creator of life. He is the re-creator of life. He can, come on somebody, you know, he can take what the devil means for harm and he can turn it around for good. He can heal, he can restore, he can renew, and he wants to do that in this place today. Father in heaven, I pray over this congregation. I pray over every marriage that there will be healing in this place, that there will be health, that there will be protection. I pray over every single, God, in a whirlwind of lies, in a whirlwind of untruths, let your truth prevail. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you may be here today and you say, Craig, I don't want to get caught up in the whirlwind. I want to honor God with my body. I want to honor him with my mind. I want to honor him with my spirit. I may not be perfect, but I want to live for him every day of my life. I don't want anything coming between me and God. I want to live out his plan, his purpose for my life. I want to live out my destiny of what he has for me. How many would just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm all over that. I want that in my life. Yeah, hands all over this room. Father in heaven, I pray over, again, every marriage, every household, every person that's here without their spouse, every single adult, God, that's struggling in a world of misinformation, I pray, God, that you will set us free and keep us free in you. Help us, God, to break every stronghold, every shackle, every chain, every sin, every thought, and bring it down in the name of Jesus. And God, set your people free to be all that you've called us to be and to walk in your freedom. Maybe others are here and you say, Craig, I don't feel that freedom in my life. I don't feel peace in my heart. And maybe the reason why is you feel far from God, and maybe you feel like, could God even forgive me? I want to tell you, friend, what Paul says. Paul would say, if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. And if you're here this morning and you need the forgiveness of a God who absolutely, 100%, unconditionally will forgive you of every sin, wash you clean, make you ready for heaven, come and fill your life with the power of his Holy Spirit to enable you to be more than you could be on your own. If you want to receive that kind of forgiveness here today, will you raise your hand right now and say, yes, that's me. Yeah, hands on in the air over here. God bless you over here. God bless you up there. God bless you. Over here, God bless you. Several people. Hands back here, God bless you. Yes, God's going to set some people free today. God's going to liberate the load of sin. God's going to make new creations in Christ Jesus right here, right now. Church family, pray this prayer with me to encourage those who raise their hand to pray this prayer as well. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe you were my sacrifice so that I can be free. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Come in and wash away my past. Make me a new creation. From this day on, I want to serve you each day. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody, praise him.